That is yes. Yes. Can I have the first slide, please? I want to talk about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ as it applies to the book of Ephesians, and it's not a forced issue to do so, because we are examining some of the scriptures that Paul gives to us as he exalts the wonderful spiritual blessings that are given to us in Christ. He lists 10 of them, and among those are the one we're going to speak of today, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. I want you to look at this picture for a moment. Just spend a moment looking at the picture of the manger scene, the stable, and all the things that are involved with it. And we have some strange ways, don't we? We have images in our mind what it was like at that stable, and perhaps it was very much like this. But I think somewhere along the line we miss the point of Jesus coming into the world. We get very nostalgic about children and babies. As a matter of fact, our hymns are very much, Brazilians would call it xarope, very syrupy, in the mention of the baby, the virgin, and all of the different aspects of the birth of Christ. But there's one element that is missing, and I've taken the time, and I encourage you to do so. There is a thing in the pew called a hymnal, and in that, I think it's from page 52 to 74, are Christmas hymns. Go ahead and pull that out. And those of you that get sleepy during sermons, you can work on this assignment while I'm preaching. I want you to go through those. Go through those Christmas hymns, page 52 to 74. All of them are about the birth of Christ. And all of them depict some names of Jesus. As I went through, I found some of those names that are there. And during the Christmas season, every year that I've been here, I've emphasized the names of Christ. And each one of us taking one of those names for the whole year and saying, Lord, you are this to me. And so we encourage you to go through and look at the names of Christ. There's lots of names like Lord and Savior and Alpha and Omega and Lord of All, Baby, Little Child, Emmanuel, Rod of Jesse, Dayspring, Key of David, Prince of Peace, Son of Righteousness, Offspring of the Virgin, Christ the Lord, Noel, whatever that is, Desire of the Nations, Messiah, the Newborn King, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. But there is an element missing, and that's the element I'm going to be preaching on this morning. I only found it in two hymns, and I challenge you, if you're the sleepy kind of person who needs something to do, that you would go through those hymns this morning and look for that one name, that one attribute that seems to be missing so prevalently in these hymns, and that is the Redeemer. The Redeemer. I found it only in two hymns. O Come, Emmanuel talks about, can he ransom captive Israel? We just heard that in song. And the other beloved song, Silent Night, which talks about redeeming grace. When we think of Jesus' birth, we often think of things like the silent baby, no crying he makes, the manger, the straw, the oxes and the ass, the shepherds, the stars, the wise men, the Gloria Excelsis Deo, whatever. Angels singing and round John Virgin. Who's round John Virgin? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and Babel sounds. All of these cute statements are in there, but sometimes we miss the point of who Jesus is and what he came to do. There is a Hebrew word that is used in the Old Testament for the name of our Savior. It is repeated many, many times over. It is the word Redeemer. In the New Testament, we don't have any of the apostles calling Jesus by the name of Redeemer, but every one of them refer to his redeeming work on Calvary, the shedding of his blood for our sins to redeem us from the hand of the enemy. That word Redeemer in the Hebrew, and now I'm going to teach you a Hebrew word, so get ready. Get your notes out so you can write it down. Is Goel. Goel, G-O-E-L, Goel, means redeemer. And then it has some other words that are added to it to multiply it and expand it. Jesus is our redeemer, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And in a moment, we're going to look into Ephesians to get our starting place for that. But I wanted to remind you that the name of the Lord is to be reveled in by His people. In Proverbs 18:10, it says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous will run to it and be safe." And so as we speak of Jesus, our Redeemer, this morning, it is so that we could run to Him and be safe. And then we find in Malachi 3:16, he says, "A scroll of remembrance was written in His presence, in the Lord's presence, concerning those who feared the Lord and thought on His name." So we are to be thinking about the name of the Lord. We are to be calling on the name of the Lord. We are to run to the name of the Lord in our times of need. I wanted to show you just a few of the names of the Lord that are throughout the Scriptures, and you probably can't see all of them in this next slide, but they're there. I have done research, and many of you already know that I have identified 640 that I can find names of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the Bible. 640. Elmer Towns says he found 700. Some others say that they found 1,000. There are multiplied names of the Lord, and all of these, each one of them is significant and given to us that we might know Him. That is what Paul preaches, and that is what Paul prays in Ephesians, that we might know Him in the power of the resurrection. I want to speak to you today about Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, because the first topic that comes before us in Ephesians concerning the name of the Lord is that of Redeemer. In Ephesians chapter 1, we read these words in verse 7 and verse 14. "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." And then he goes on down to verse 14. He says, "Who is the deposit?" The Holy Spirit, "who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise and the glory of His grace." Now, if you're reading from NIV, I have taken the liberty of putting back into that passage which they took out, the purchased possession, which is the actual words that are used in the Greek. I want to talk to you about Redeemer. What is a Redeemer? In the Old Testament, we are given the name Redeemer. Redeemer, Goel, refers to a kinsman redeemer. And some of you that are biblical scholars know that. You know the story of Ruth and how the kinsman redeemer was an important part of that. But I want to talk to you about the kinsman redeemer concept and how that is important to us in the birth of Christ. Because when I see kinsman redeemer, I just kind of go, "Oh, that's nice." And it doesn't do anything for me. So what we have to do is we have to take this biblical name and bring it into our own age so that we can understand it. A kinsman redeemer was referred to all through the Old Testament. "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am first and I am last, and beside me there is no God." God identifies Himself and His Son as Redeemer. Job, perhaps the first one to write about this, being one of the most ancient texts that we have, said, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and I shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." They knew of Redeemer, and they considered it precious that the Son of God, that God Himself, should call Himself our Redeemer. But what is this kinsman Redeemer? In the Old Testament, family ties were very important. And so God had a regulation, a law for Israel, that when an enemy came in and captured someone of your family, the person most closely associated, the closest relative to that person captured, was to be his kinsman redeemer. That is, that individual had the right and the responsibility and the obligation to do whatever had to be done to bring that family member back. They were empowered to go and negotiate and pay a ransom. They were empowered to go and invade the camp of the enemy and do whatever was necessary. And finally, they were empowered to, and the term is blood avenge, and it's actually part of the word redeemer, to be the blood avenger of their children. Oh, you did that too soon. Back up. I'll tell you when to go. Let me tell you a story before we go to that. I ruined that. I didn't tell him that. When we were in college, we were married and had our first child, and we moved to a little community outside of Nyack, New York, which was on a hill overlooking the Hudson River. And we happened to live in a trailer park, and it was a nice place to live. And our children enjoyed taking their three-wheelers and racing down that long hill and just screeching to a stop at the end. Lots of kids in the trailer park. And they enjoyed being there. But one day, our son came home, and we asked him where Amy was. And he said, well, she's down with that man. And I said, what? He said, that old man that lives in the trailer all by himself has Amy in his house. Pause for a moment. What do you do when your beloved daughter is invited into a home of an old man that lives alone in a trailer park? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I got out my chainsaw. I didn't have a chainsaw, but I felt like it. I felt like getting an axe or something. And I ran to find out and asked everybody where that house is and went up to his door and just pounded on the door. And that old man came to the door and said, where's my daughter? And she was inside the house. We have no idea what took place inside that house. But I'll tell you, I was ready to kill to protect my daughter. Now, some of you have a hard time with that. But a kinsman redeemer was God's law that said, you are given the responsibility to protect your kinsman, to lay down your life if necessary, or to take the life of the enemy. You see, kinsman redeemer, we often look at the book of Ruth because it's a nice, sweet love story and think it's just kind of, oh yeah, he's my kinsman redeemer. Kinsman redeemer was not a pacifist. Now the next slide. For those of you listening not able to see it, it's Rambo. It's Rambo. And why is it Rambo? It's because Goel Hadam is the word in the Old Testament for kinsman redeemer, which means blood avenger. You see, there's nothing specified about redeemer. It is the biggest macho that God could give His Son to say, you are to be the kinsman redeemer. My children are lost in the world. They've been taken captive by the enemy. He is doing horrible things to them. He is leading them astray. He is dragging them down to the pit with himself, and he's going to take them to hell. And God tells his little boy as he grows up, you are to be the redeemer of my people. You are to go to the pit of hell to drag them out. You are to do whatever needs to be done to bring them back to me. Now, I'm not encouraging you to watch Rambo. But I think there's something important about what we learn from some of the imagery. I want you to look for a moment at Rambo. I want you to put Jesus' face there. Because there is no difference in the way Jesus approached us in coming to earth. His purpose in coming to earth was not to be a baby in a manger. Don't you hate the sweet songs? Sweet little Jesus boy. Jesus didn't come to be sweet little Jesus boy. Jesus didn't come to be the little boy in the manger with the glowing face and the halo. He came to be Rambo for his people. He came because nobody else would come. He came because nobody was powerful enough to do it. To redeem them from the hand of the enemy took the man of man. Took the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to descend from the palaces of heaven and make himself a child in a manger to take on our form so he could enter into our life and he could redeem us by his mighty hand and his outstretched arm. Don't you get that imagery from Rambo? Wow, I look at that kind of picture and I say, that's my Savior. That's my Jesus. And when Paul writes to the church in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, and we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That is not a pacifist attitude. It is Jesus laid down his life. He did it all for you and me. Do you know what else he did? The scripture says he descended into hell. Now, some people get really nervous about that. We're not given any further information other than he descended into Hades. He went to the place of the dead. There he proclaimed liberty to the captives, To those that were in the place of the dead that had believed and trusted in Christ, He redeemed them from the hand of death and pulled them into paradise. And those that had disobeyed and walked away from God and lived that wicked life, He preached condemnation that they should forever be abandoned from the presence of God into a place called hell. He descended into hell. Now I think of the Rambo movie, and yes, I have seen a couple of them. They're not great movies, but the heroism there is important for us. Here's Rambo, a retired soldier that comes back to the United States and is despised and rejected. He's spit upon because he's a soldier in the Vietnam War. But they are soldiers left behind who he calls my brothers, are left behind in prison houses, and the government was now turning its back on them and saying, they're refuse, they're gone, give them up. And Rambo stands forward and says, no, they are my brothers. They're my brothers. I'm going in. You could try to stop me, but I'm going to bring my brother back. And he goes into the Vietnam and with little armament, with little power that he has, and he takes on the whole army, and he goes in there bombing and shooting and killing, and then he runs in and opens the prison gates and says, come on, guys, come on! And they run to the helicopter, they all jump in, and he says, goo, 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 and they go. And they're saved. And those men that were starved and in thin bodies look at Rambo and they say, thank you. Thank you. And Rambo, with all his machoism, looks at them and says, you're my brother. And that story ends as he faces one of the generals who was to turn his back on the men left behind. And he says, I only have one wish. I wish my country loved us as much as we love her. And Jesus says, I have one wish, that you would love me as much as I loved you. He is our kinsman redeemer. Next slide, please. The kinsman redeemer does several things for us that I want to point out. He was commissioned to do it. God gave his permission. God gave the command that he was to do it. And so it was done. The first was, he was to ransom them. That is, the Bible depicts very clearly for us that we are taken captive by Satan and his kingdom. That we can't escape even if we wanted to. We are in a prison house of sin and there's no breaking of those bars. There's no shattering of the fetters that are on us. We can't get out of our sin, but God sent someone to rescue us, the kinsman redeemer, to give a ransom for our soul. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. And Hosea says in chapter 13, verse 14, I will ransom them from the power of the grave and I will redeem them from death. God has ordained that Jesus should ransom us from the hand of the enemy. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Next slide, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Here again, we have that reminder in our own culture of this idea of a redeemer. A ransom needs to be paid. There is a movie that depicts this idea where a father has a son, a precious son, who is kidnapped and taken away, and a ransom note is left behind that he needs to pay umpteen $1,000,000 in order to get his son back. Do you think a father would deny that for his son? No. Mel Gibson goes out of his way in this depiction of the ransom to do everything necessary to redeem his son from the hand of the enemy. And in Ephesians chapter 2, we understand better what is said in chapter 1 when we know that we were dead in trespasses and sins, which you used to live in when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the craving of our sinful nature and following the desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we are by nature, objects of His wrath. It's important for us to understand that we were taken captive by Satan. Everyone here has been at some time or other in his life a captured sinner. You were born into this world, and the day that you were born under Adam's curse. Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. Remember that story? And immediately when he sinned, God said, "You will surely die. The death condemnation is on you. Curse is on you. And you will die for your sins." That curse of Adam's race passes to every one of us. If you are a human being, if you are a Homo sapien, if you are part of the human race, anyone that's not, then you have Adam's sin in your heart. And because of that sin, you have fallen into the hands of the devil and you are his prisoner. And you can't get out. There's a wonderful picture of that in John Bunyan's book, The Pilgrim's Progress, where Pilgrim is captured and he's put into the giant of despair's castle and down in the dungeon. Nothing they can do can get themselves out of that dungeon. Except at the end of that little chapter of the story, Pilgrim is sitting there bemoaning and thinking of taking his own life because he's hopeless and despair. He reaches into his pocket and he finds, "But I have a key. The key is that it has been paid for. It's been purchased. My redemption, my freedom has been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus, and all I need to do is take the key," and the key opens the prison door. And so he took the key and put it into the lock, and it moved the lock, and the door swung open, and he ran free. And friends, Jesus wants you to know that he paid the ransom for you, and that ransom was his blood. The second thing a Redeemer does is he rescues. He ransoms, but he also rescues. That is, we are under the power of Satan. We are in his kingdom. We can't get out. In Psalm 107, David says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Daniel 6:27, it was Nebuchadnezzar that says, "He, the Lord, rescues, delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and earth. And he has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." You see, the Lord is the rescuer. Jesus came as a baby in a manger to grow up to be a man, to give his life on the cross for us, to rescue us from our sins. Do you know what a rescuer is? In recent days, we heard the story of three climbers on Mount Hood. They went up there in their adventurous spirit and perhaps in their folly, and ended up in blizzards and snowstorms and couldn't get out. And as far as we know now, all of them perished. But what did the families feel? What did the families want? They wanted rescuers. And they appealed to the government. They appealed to the army. They appealed to anyone. "Please, if you could rescue, do what you can do to bring them back." You see, that's what God did. We wandered far from his fold. And we were lost in the mountains of sin. And he sent his son to look for us. We don't find him. He finds us. He searches like the good shepherd for the lost sheep until he finds them. And then he takes his sheep and puts them on his shoulders and carries them back safely. Next slide, please. None of us can forget 9/11. And those wonderful rescuers that risked their lives to go into the World Trade Center to bring back a few who needed to be rescued. The stories are astounding, and I've already shared some of those stories with you of firemen and police officers who went into the pit of hell itself despite the flames and despite the dust and the storm that was about them. They went in to find the one that was lost, the one that they could reach to bring them safely back. Someone has said, if you were the only person on earth and you were lost, Jesus would have come to rescue you. You see, that baby in a manger is not just a cute little Jesus boy. He is the baby that came to live, to become strong in the Lord, and to defeat the power of the enemy and rescue us from the hand of death and hell. in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, and delivers them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus did that for you and me to rescue us so that we can be on our deathbed someday and know that we have nothing to fear. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord because we have been rescued forevermore. Let me add one more thing to this. And that is, not only are we rescued from our sins, but the Bible talks about the future rescue that's going to take place. In Romans, Paul talks about all of creation groaning and laboring and travail, waiting for the day for the redemption of the body. That is, God wants to redeem this body. I want everybody to stand up right now. Since you don't have a mirror, you can't look at your own body. I want you to look at somebody next to you and look at their body. Now, I'll be careful. Look at somebody's body. I just want you to look at it. I don't want you to appreciate it either. I want you to look at it and say, you could do better. All right, sit down. When you go home, I want you to look in the mirror and I want you to remember the kid that was 16 years old. You happen to be 45 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80. Now you look in the mirror and you say, that body is not what it used to be. Why? Because it's decaying, it's dying, and it's headed for the grave. This body is full of pains. Those of you that are over 50 years old probably have pains, like my wife. And like I do. And the older you get, the more the pains tend to come, except for Pastor Ed. He's the exception. We have this in our flesh because of the fallenness of man, and Jesus came to rescue us. I'm so glad that Jesus rescued me, and He says He's going to come someday to rescue us from this body. Because this body smells of B.O. This body gets dirty. This body's losing its hair. This body's losing its muscle tone. It's losing whatever beauty it once had. It's fading away. One day it's going to lay in a grave and get rotted. I don't want to go to heaven with a rotted body. I want to go with a new body. Redemption, and the Redeemer speaks of that redemption of His purchased possession. That there is a day in which Jesus is going to come and He's going to call us back to Himself. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, these bodies, though they're dead in the grave or though they're rotting and gray and withered, they're going to rise up in newness of life. And He's going to give us a new body. And we're going to be with Him forevermore. That is the Redeemer. That is the rescuing of our Savior. Finally, there is the price that needed to be paid by the Redeemer. The Redeemer had to pay a price. He had to pay the ransom. That's what a kinsman redeemer did. He had to pay whatever it cost, even to give his own life, that he might rescue us from sin. Peter says, and you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without defect. My friends, as we look at the manger scene and remember the Savior who came into the world, we must remember that that precious little body was a price beyond all other prices. It was God come into the flesh, God bringing Himself into a man's body that He might live and that He might lay down His own life on our behalf, and then that He might rise in newness of life, victor over death and sin and hell. There was a price to pay, and the apostles tell us that that price was the precious blood of Jesus. We have precious blood in our veins. When Jesus comes into your heart and life, He saves you from your sin, but He also lives in you. He shed His precious blood on your behalf so that you can go to heaven. And when you stand before God the judge, Satan's going to be around and he's going to be accusing just like he is now. It says he accuses us before the throne day and night. He's going to stand there and he's going, Lord, they're rotten, they're evil, they didn't do the right things. Jesus, our Redeemer, will stand. And He will stand before the Father between us and the judgment of God, and He will hold up His hands. And you will see, and God will see those nail-pierced hands. He will show his side. He will show the wounds of his head. And he'll say, Father, I paid it all. I gave my life as the ransom. I paid the price that no one else could pay. I have purchased his redemption. He's mine. And God says, the law has been satisfied. My friend, if you don't have Christ as your Savior, he will not stand in your behalf. He will not be able to stand before the Father and say, he's mine, I bought him with a price, because you didn't accept the price. You never invited him to come in. His blood never became your blood, the blood that covers your sin. And that's why it's important at Christmas and at Easter and every other time during the year, we proclaim that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He gives us the gift of his life. And all we have to do is take it and receive it and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I am lost. I'm captive to my own sins and Satan is leading me astray, and I ask you to be my Savior, be my Redeemer. Come into my life and save me from my sins. Wash me whiter than snow. And Jesus says when we pray that prayer, we will be washed in the blood of the Lamb, made whiter than snow. Last slide, please. Sin and Satan hold all of us captive. But it's Jesus' ransom that sets us free. That ransom has been paid in full. The song says it so well. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. We're going to close the service today with a song that may be unfamiliar to some of you, but it does not matter. We're going to have that played on a CD. And I want you to listen to the words, because I've searched for songs that will exalt Jesus as Redeemer. And this one does, I think, best of all. It talks about God having you in mind. Jesus having you in mind when he climbed upon that tree. And he saw you with his eternal eyes that he might set you free. He's your Redeemer, your Savior, and friend. Listen as we play this song. And if you've never responded to your Redeemer, ask him to redeem you now. And if you know him as your Redeemer, rejoice with this song. And if you know it, go ahead and sing along. I love singing it. I sit in my room and put it on my computer and sing it. And I get tears in my eyes and I just cry and say, Lord, you're my Redeemer, my Savior, my friend.
The grace you poured upon us.
That Rambo slide is number 6, please. I want to speak to the children, and all the children are with us this morning. There are going to be times when you're afraid at night. There's going to be times when you feel like the boogeyman, whatever that is going to get you. There's going to be times you wake up in the middle of the night with a bad dream. And it's at times like that that you need to call on your Redeemer. His name is Joel Hadam. He is my kinsman redeemer, my blood avenger. He is my hero, my rescuer, my ransom. He is my savior. And I want to encourage all the parents with a tongue in cheek. You need this on the wall of your child's bed. Not Rambo, but you need Jesus and all of his splendid glory to remind the children over and over and over again that in Jesus you are safe. And in Jesus you are rescued. And in Jesus the enemy cannot touch you. For Jesus is stronger than he. And all God's people said, amen. He is my Redeemer. I hope he's yours. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we leave this place today, it is with our hand in the hand of our Redeemer. Oh, Lord, I love the fact that you love me and you're my hero. And you stormed the gates of hell to bring me back. And you hold me in the palm of your hand and no one can take me away from you. You are my Goel Hadam, my Redeemer, my Savior, and my friend. I pray your blessing upon this Christmas Eve day, that as we think of your coming, we will not just think the baby in the manger, but we'll think of our strong hero, the Lord Jesus Christ, Redeemer of all of our hearts. Go with us now, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed, and may the Lord give you a wonderful and blessed Christmas.